Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-host, and with me is Matt Smith. In this special episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith, Matt discusses which players he feels should stay and who should go from Fulham. As always, this is from a coaching perspective. We have plenty to discuss. Before we get started, I have to welcome back my friend to the show. Matt, how you doing?
Good, Russ. Yeah, looking forward to doing a little bit different of a show than we normally do, but definitely an interesting one, especially for the end of the year, and trying to look and see how we're going to move forward, and definitely looking at it from a more business perspective, so hopefully it's a little bit different.
Absolutely. We're going to be looking at this from a business and coaching perspective, and then I'm going to be doing a show with the guys, you know, from a fan perspective, which players we want, which players should go. But let's start with this. We actually do have some breaking Fulham news, Matt, and it actually involves Michael Maddow. You and I have talked about him a great deal. And the club on their website announced that Michael Maddow has signed permanently. And not only has he signed permanently, he has a 2-year extension to his contract. So he'll be with Fulham for an additional 2 seasons. What are your thoughts of Fulham signing Michael Maddow permanently?
I think it's a great signing. I think it's something that I think it clearly was a very important piece of business for Slavisa to get done, seeing as how quickly it got done. I think it also shows how much Michael Maddow actually wanted to be here on a permanent basis. So it's definitely a good move. I think that you're gonna see him play a lot more. It's unfortunate that he had the injuries at the end of the year. I think you and I talked about how he possibly was one of the misses that we had that could have attributed to some of our poor performances. I think that when you saw him go out, I thought you saw a drop in our form. So I think that really maybe some absence makes the heart grow fonder kind of thing. And so I'm really looking forward to having him on a permanent basis. I think he's a good Fulham man. I think he's going to be a fixture in the club, one who's loved by the fans and somebody that's really going to be able to take us forward.
Okay. And Matt, regardless of formation, because Slavisa has used 3 at the back and he's used obviously 2 center backs. Is he someone that will be one of the first people picked by Slavisa each and every match?
I think so. And, from a coach's perspective, I think that's the goal, is to have as many players as like that as you can. I think that, if you look back to when we were so successful under Roy Hodgson, I think that what you saw was almost a virtual 11 where you could basically just make a copy of the team sheet from the week before, and that's who was playing them the next week. And I think that really – I think that's really understated, but the whole notion of squad rotation these days and stuff like that. But, I think that it's important to have continuity and to have somebody who's going to be somebody that you can, first name on the team sheet kind of guy. And so I think it's going to be, a good signing all around. I think his leadership and things like that are going to come forth. And, he's obviously a Slavisa guy because he was one of the first loanees that he signed. And he's the first player, first new contract that other than Scott Parker, that Slavisa has signed. So I think that definitely shows what the manager thinks of him and I think what his future can be.
Okay. Very good, my friend. All right. Before we get into the players, there has been some other news this week, and that was the transfer of Kostas Mitroglou. He is now permanently, a player for Benfica. Speculation has the deal going down for about 7 million euros, which comes out to 5.5 million pounds. And, that's money that Slavisa can now use moving forward. But I want to get your thought from a coaching perspective, what Slavisa might have been thinking as the season ended, and he's looking at players that could be staying and could be going. And he was aware, I'm sure he was aware, that Benfica had this in their loan deal that they could actually make it permanent. So what do you think was his thought process after the season ended when it came to Stekelenburg? I have Stekelenburg on the brain too, when it came to Mitroglou.
Well, I think it actually started probably even before the season ended. I think that he started to see our deficiencies and where we needed to improve and where he wanted to bring in players. And he probably started making a running tally in his head about how much money we were going to need to bring in those players, and how we were going to be able to do that. And, as soon as you see Mitroglou on our books and the fact that he has, hasn't played for us and really has no interest in doing so. And, and a team who he is performing for and does want him. And I think that at the end of the day, £5.5 million is probably about the most we were going to get for him. And it kind of hurts to get just over half of what you paid for him, but I think that's what we're going to get with him. And I think Slavisa was saying, yeah, get me the money. I don't want the player. I want the money to go get my player. And I think that's kind of why that happened so quickly.
Okay, very good. And one other piece of speculation from the week, that wasn't speculation, that actually happened. The deal with Kostas Mitroglou actually went through. But there has been speculation before we get to goalkeepers. I'm going to talk about a goalkeeper. And that's Martin Stekelenburg. He had been out on loan. He's still technically out on loan with Southampton. And there is speculation that Southampton want to sign him permanently. So my question to you is, what are your thoughts about this? Is this a type of player that you would cash in on?
Well, I think that we're going to talk about this throughout the show. But a lot of these deals and possible deals is all about developing leverage and which clubs can develop leverage to be able to drive the price down or drive the price up. I think with Southampton, obviously, possibly a European team, next year they're going to need a strong backup goalkeeper. So you wonder how much money they're going to have to spend. I think the other possibility is possibly shopping him out to a team that would see him as a starter, because that would probably drive up the price a little bit. If you can create a bidding war between two teams, then all the best for it. I think that he probably is going to go. I think that it's almost a certainty he's going to go. It's just all about where. But what you got to do is you got to get the most. You got to get the most for him as you can. And being a backup and being a starter, I think the prices are different there and then you got to talk about is he going to the Premiership? Is he going to the Championship? So on and so forth. Those factors will come in, but I think you will see him go. I think Southampton are smart enough that they won't overspend. If we can get them to pay a Premier League price, then I think that you may see that happen.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, let's now get into discussing the other goalkeepers. And let's start with Andy Lonergan, 32 years old. He's under contract until the end of next season. Then you have Marcus Bettinelli, 23 years old. He's under contract until the end of 2018-2019 season. You have Joe Louis, who's out on loan and will be going back to his parent club. And then you have Jesse Ronan, who just, I believe, signed an extension. He's under contract now. He's 23 years old as well, until the end of next season, June 30th, 2017. So let's talk about Lonergan, Bettinelli, also Joe Louis, and then let's end with Jesse Ronan. Let's start with Lonergan. Should he stay?
I think Lonergan should stay. I think that he was a very good player for us when he did play. Obviously, you need a strong backup. As we saw, we needed it. I think that he, in my opinion, possibly even won the number one job towards the end of the year. And, it was a shame to see him, understandable, but a shame to see him put on the bench from his performances, and surprising that he didn't get another shot with Bettinelli's performances, as we talked about towards the end of the year. I think you do see him stay. I think you got him for another year. It's another person who, I mean, he's the elder statesman. At 32, he's the oldest goalkeeper we have, which I'm not sure how many teams can say that, with having two 23-year-olds and a 28-year-old on loan. So, I think you need somebody like that to be able to guide and help develop the other goalkeepers and kind of show them, lead by example a little bit about how a goalkeeper needs to go about developing. Bettinelli's an interesting one. I think that, there have been some rumors out there. There were last year that he may be kind of dangled out there to see interest and stuff like that. We wouldn't turn a blind eye to any interest given to him. I think that Bettinelli's an interesting one because of the fact that, his market value, as we're looking on transfermarket.co.uk, his transfer value is over £1 million, which, for a 23-year-old goalkeeper, you would typically say it is very, very good. But I think that actually, and we talked about leverage again, and I think that he could possibly be one that would create some leverage for us in some negotiating deals, because he is a homegrown player, has played for the England youth teams, and I think that could actually drive the cost up more. If a club like Man City or Arsenal or somebody who basically – a club who really struggles with the homegrown rule player or homegrown player rule, sorry. Similar to the whole Pat Roberts deal with Man City, I think you could see a similar situation to where a club is maybe willing to, quote-unquote, overspend in order to get a homegrown player, in order to satisfy those rules. So it could be something that, maybe somebody like a Manchester City comes in and throws, £3.5 million towards us for him, and that would be a hard offer to turn down. But, I'd love to see him stay. Obviously, a huge tie to the club with his dad being a coach in the academy, and I think that it's he's obviously a Fulham kid, and you'd love to see him to develop. We've got him for another 3 years, and by the end of his contract, he'll be 26, and what you would hope to be would be the close to the finished product with how much playing experience he's going to have. So, I think I kind of straddle the fence on this. I hope that he stays. I think he could be a good goalkeeper for us, but I think you'd be silly from a business perspective to just turn a blind eye to any interest given to him, because I think that, and this kind of leads into Joe Lewis. I think you could see Joe Lewis possibly leave, because I think, in being on loan, I think Slavisa is going to be looking to bring in a player at each position that is actually Slavisa's player, a player that Slavisa has signed to that position. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a goalkeeper, a center back, right back, left back, all the way through the team. I think that's important for a coach trying to really turn things around quickly, is to bring his players in as in players that he signed that have loyalty to him, because he's the one that has given him a chance. And, so I think you may see that. I think you may see Joe Lewis go back, even though he did have a great game. From what I remember, he did have a very good game for us, a couple good games, I think, for us this year, and has done well. But I think that actually Cardiff could actually see him, maybe stepping up in terms of his level with that club. So, unfortunately, I think you may see him go. With Jesse Ronan, again, signed a one-year extension, I think it's just kind of a wait and see, kind of see how he develops. I think having a peer in Marcus Bettinelli to train with and to develop with and compete with, I think is always very, very good. To keep him on for another season probably isn't a big deal, because he's a young player. He's still developing, and we can kind of see where he goes. And at the end of next season, then we'll reevaluate. And I think that's a good piece of business.
Okay, and I agree. And what's funny about Yaronen is that when I saw Fulham play at Everbank Field 2 seasons ago, McGath had him as his goalkeeper, and had been it was between him and Bettinelli, and he actually picked Yaronen. Then Yaronen got hurt, and then of course we saw Marcus Bettinelli. He took over from there. So that's an interesting situation also to follow with Marcus Bettinelli, because I like Marcus Bettinelli. I could see him being a long-term solution as a goalkeeper for Fulham, but he is young, so there are some decisions to make, and there is some value with him. So that's something just to consider. All right, let's move on to defenders. Let's start with right back, and this is going to be interesting, Matt, because we have some interesting choices for you. We have Jazz Richards, 25 years old. He's under contract until June 30th, 2018. You have Ryan Fredericks, 23 years old, also under contract until June 30th, 2018, but he also has some flexibility playing in midfield, so you have those two players. You also have Sean Kavanagh, a young player, who's also under contract for the same period of time. And I also want to mention you have James Husband, who was at Fulham. He was on loan from Middlesbrough for the first half of the season. He was also under with Fulham, for the end of the season prior. So he has some experience with the club, but he is back with Middlesbrough. So let's start with Jazz, because what's interesting about him, he could be part of the Wales team playing in the Euros. So his value could go up if he does play with Wales. So that's an interesting situation. So let's start with him, and then let's go to Ryan Fredericks.
Well, I think Jazz Richards, I put players in terms of should they stay or should they go now, into basically three categories. One is keep, no doubt you want to keep them. The second one is kind of in between. We'd love to keep, but, we listen to interest. And then the third category is, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. And I think Jazz Richards falls into that last category. I think that his just overall performance was subpar. And, you know, but I think what you've got to do as a club, and just from a business perspective, is you've got to make it look as if you really want him to stay right now. You've got to look, is he a full employer? He's under contract for 2 more years. And while in the back room, you're saying, man, I hope he plays well at the Euros, because that could really drive the price up and drive the demand up. So, you know, as soon as that happens, if he has a good Euros, then he has played much better for Wales than he has for us. So, you know, so I actually, you know, in the Euros, I'm actually rooting for Jazz Richards to play well, because it'll drive the price up, and we won't have to deal with him anymore. So I just don't see the fight and the determination in there that, you know, to play for Fulham, to play for Slavisa and the way Slavisa wants to play. And so, you know, I think that you slow play it. You definitely don't want to sell him before the Euros, because I think the price is going to be too low. And yeah, it is a little bit of a gamble, because, you know, if he doesn't play well, that could basically, you know, ruin any kind of market for him. But, you know, you take that gamble and you hope everything works out. And then as soon as the Euros are over, you say, yeah, well, you know, I think we are willing to listen to some offers and things like that. So, but yeah, he's definitely one that, you know, I think that will be shown the door one way or the other. Ryan Fredericks, I think, is one that you absolutely have to keep just from sheer potential. I think that, you know, the only thing that you can say negative about him is that sometimes he's just not available. And I think, you know, as a coach, I always say the best ability a player can have is availability. And he just struggles with injuries and struggles to play 90 minutes. And I think it's similar to what you've seen with, you know, similar very pacey players like Aaron Lennon, at an early age as Fredericks is, where Lennon struggled with injuries, with hamstrings and things like that. And that's just, you know, it's like dealing with a world-class sprinter or a professional racehorse or things like that. Is, you know, just one little thing can take them from being an explosive player and really, you know, back them down, their speed back down to an average player. So you really want to just get him healthy and get him stronger and really work with him over the summer about, you know, being a little bit more durable and allow him. But he's definitely one we want to keep.
Okay, very good. And let's end talking about Sean Kavanagh. You know, listen, he played a little bit under a kip, but, you know, overall, I think the kid needs to put on a little bit of weight. I'm not sure if he's a long-term solution, but talk about him. And then also let's end talking about James Husband. I know he's back with Middlesbrough, but if I'm Fulham, I might consider, you know, if I'm Slavisa, you know, I might consider going in for him permanently, because they're now going up and he might be available.
Right, right. Yeah, with Sean Kavanagh, yeah, you know, he's very young, at 22, and still has some developing to do. And you wonder, just from the inside, are they looking as, you know, where is his trajectory? Has he plateaued a little bit? Is he still kind of moving in the right direction? I do think he has something to offer, but I do think it's as a backup or even as a reserve team player, as you build your squad, because it is a very long season with so many league matches and cup matches and things like that. And he could play a small role in that. So I think it is somebody that you'll see back at the club. I don't think you'll see us really get rid of him. James Husband is an interesting one. Like you said, I think that the leverage could be on our side, because I think that they'll be looking to offload squad players in order to build up a bankroll to bring in some Premier League players with them going up. So I think you may have a chance there to get him possibly on a cheap. And I think that he's definitely a fan favorite. I think he's somebody I'm not sure if he ever played for Slavisa, but I think he's somebody that maybe people at the club have referred to Slavisa about, you know, this is the kind of player that you would love to have play for you, because he plays as hard as he can every time he steps on the field. You know, all the cliches that you say, he wears his heart on his sleeve, he leaves everything out there, yada, yada, yada. Has definitely endeared himself to the fans for that. So, I think that's probably more of a hope than something I think will happen. I think it's definitely
right.
a hope, but I think you know, right back is definitely a place where I think you're going to see a new contract player come in, no doubt.
Okay, very good, very good. Now let's switch to left back. This is interesting because we have Luke Garbutt on loan for the entire season with Everton. He's under contract with them. until 2020. So he's a long-term project for them. He's 22 years old. So talk about him. And, you know, again, there's another player I'm really curious your thoughts on, because he can play multiple positions, and that is Tim Ream. And Tim Ream is 28 years old. He could be a left back. He could be a center back. He's actually under contract with Fulham until June 30th, 2019. So I'm definitely curious your thoughts on both. Garbutt, would you entertain going back to Everton and see if you could get him back on loan? And also on Tim Ream, what do you do about Tim Ream? Should he stay or should he go?
Well, Luke Garbutt, obviously the decision on that is going to be up to Everton, and you know, whether they're willing to send him back. You know, with the new manager coming in there at some point, they're going to obviously reevaluate their situation at those positions and see if he fits in. I think that he's definitely a player who can be very versatile to us, which is very valuable. I don't think you're going to see him come on a permanent deal. If anything, you're going to see him come back on a loan deal, which I think would be great. I think he's somebody who definitely did a job for us, and I saw him score a goal against Bolton earlier in the season, and I think his versatility could definitely play a role in us wanting him back. Tim Ream, again, versatility. I think you and I talked about it the last show we did about, you know, I don't necessarily see him as a starter anywhere, but I do see him as a solid backup at two positions. And so I think his value is very good for us right now, even though his market value is very, very high right now, just over £1 million. So, he's – yeah, we'll have him, and to get a big money deal for him at 28, I think is probably a stretch. So I think you end up seeing us keep him, if nothing else, just because I'm not sure we're going to find a better replacement as a backup center back and left back to provide squad depth.
Okay, very good, my friend. And listen, I just want to mention a Goldman I made. I think my 5-hour energy is starting to wear off, because I brought up James Husband, and I meant to bring him up when we were talking about left backs. I threw him in when we were talking about right backs. So anyone that is confused, I know that he's a left back. That was just a major Goldman on my part in trying to multitask Matt, and anyone that knows me knows I can't multitask. So that's my fault. Focusing on him at left back, not right back, because he's not a right back. He's a left back. So just to clarify, clarify my Goldman there, Matt.
Yeah, and I think I think it's still kind of the same deal. I'm not sure. I think he's somebody you bring in for depth. I think if you bring him in, you probably don't see Garbutt come back. If you don't bring him in, maybe you do see Garbutt come back and we approach them for another loan. But, left back again, I think left back is another position that you're probably going to see. So basically try to bring in a little bit more of a dynamic player who can maybe partner with Ryan Fredericks on the right to have some true wingers flying up and down the field.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, let's move to center backs. We have more than a few to discuss. We're going to do this a little bit different. We're going to talk about ones that, again, could be on the fringe, could have already made decisions. So let's start with Dan Byrne, because he made it known that on Twitter that he was not returning. He's only 24 years old, and his contract ends at the end of June, but it sounds like, based on his tweets, that he won't be returning. Just real quick, your thoughts on Dan Byrne?
I think he's somebody that really you respect a lot, and you definitely love Fulham, love the club. I think that I don't think there's really any hard feelings. At least I hope not. I haven't heard any. But I think that it's just time for him to move on, and I think that he kind of saw the writing on the wall. I think he probably had some extensive. These things don't just come about overnight. These things, there's conversations that are had with the manager and with the front office to kind of see where he fits in for the future. And I think he saw or was told, one or the other, that his future probably wasn't there. It wasn't with Fulham, and that's okay. That's football. I mean, that's honestly it's the worst part about the job as a manager is telling players who have done great service for you and have done put all the work in and have never complained and things like that, and having to tell them that we're moving in a different direction. That's probably the hardest part about it. But But it is business, and that's just the tough part of it. So I think that I think everybody wishes him the best. I'm sure the manager wishes him the best. But I think in order to move forward, we're going to need some new faces, and I think this is another position where you're going to see a new face.
Okay, very good. And I'm going to give you some players that there are some decisions to be made. And let's start with, believe it or not, Nikolai Bodorov. He's still a Fulham. He was out on loan this season. You know, he's only 29 years old. His contract ends at the end of next season, so he's still under contract. Keep that in mind. Sean Hutchinson will actually be out of contract at the end of June this season, so he's someone to think about as well. So let's talk about those two together. Let's talk about Bodorov and Hutchinson. What do you do with both of those players?
Well, I think that center back, as we go through, I think center back is probably going to be the position where you see the most players that we currently have in our squad go. Obviously, you've already seen Dan Byrne go. I think that Sean Hutchinson is probably another one of those that's going to go. He's going to be basically not offered a new contract and be able to leave. And Nikolai Bodorov, I think he's all but gone. I think the great thing for us in terms of leverage is that he is under contract. I think we're going to see him probably head off. I'm not sure if there was a deal in the loan deal where he could be, bought by the club. I hope there is. I just don't feel the need. I think he's going to bring in probably. He's already brought in obviously Maddo on a permanent deal. I think that you could see Bodorov possibly. I would say it's probably a 75% chance that he goes, especially with his market value. If you can get him with a market value on transfer market of £750,000, I think I think you take that today. So if that's anywhere close to the true market value, I think you're going to see him leave.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, let's end with a couple very interesting ones I'm curious your thoughts on. Let's talk about Fernando Amorebieta. Issue with him is he's 31 years old. He's under contract for one more season. Then you have another fascinating one I'm curious your thoughts on is Richard Stearman, 28 years old. He's under contract until June 30th, 2018, so you have a couple seasons with him. Let's talk about Amorebieta, and then let's talk about Stearman.
Well, Amorebieta, I think, for me, falls into the same category as Jazz Richards. I think he is a little bit of a liability at times, a little bit rash in challenges, gave away some penalties, and just wasn't consistent enough. I think he's going to be replaced by Michael Maddle, I think that we're going to see him head off again. Hopefully we can find a buyer for him with him being under contract for one more year. Richard Stearman's an interesting one because, you know, you and I talked right when Slavica came in. One of the first players to lose his spot was Richard Stearman. And we were kind of thinking that maybe, you know, he was in Slavica's doghouse. But towards the end of the season, he became a kind of a regular in the team and played a role. And I think that, you know, you wonder, did he win Slavica over? Did Slavica finally come to, just an understanding of how he plays and what he is? And so I think that's a positive thing for Richard Stearman. You know, him being 28 and, you know, having another 2 years on his deal, when his deal gets done, he'll be 30. I don't think the market's going to be there for him. Second of all, I think that he really has won his way back into good favor with Slavica. So I think you're going to see Richard Stearman stay.
Okay, interesting, because I'm just thinking about this because this is a very interesting one for Slavica to decide on. If he has won him over, then he stays. But if he hasn't, Matt, I think there's a team that would take him back. Do you have a guess which team I'm going at that might be interested in taking him right back?
Well, I would guess, yeah, Wolves. Wolves. I mean, he's a fan favorite there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if he's not sold on Richard Stearman long term, if I'm him, I consider calling up the manager of Wolves and says, "Hey, do you want your player back? Let's break even here."
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, if you can get, if you can get somewhere around $1 million, $1.5 million for him, I think that you definitely look at that. Then it becomes really a numbers game because
right.
You know, you have those center backs. You've already lost one. You've signed one. You kind of have a half of a center back in terms of Tim Ream. Is he a center back, left back? So then you're looking at a numbers game, and you probably want to carry anywhere from four to five center backs. So
right.
I think from sheer numbers, we see him stay, but I wouldn't rule out that possibility.
Right. You know, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is as an interesting decision for a coach. That's why we're doing this show from a coaching perspective, because the decisions really aren't just about what's on the pitch. It's managing your budget, managing the players that you have, because they have a huge rebuild in front of them. So you have assets in Tim Ream. You also have assets in Richard Stearman that do have some market value. So that's just something that I think that Savisa needs to weigh, you know, because I think this is a massive rebuild, and he's got major decisions with these center backs. So I thought I would bring that up as well. Let's move to the midfield. There's some very interesting players. I'm going to do this, you know, bits and pieces with you. Let's start with players that I think personally could be on the out, so I'm curious your thoughts on it. Let's start with Alex Kacheneklic. He's 24 years old. He's under contract until the end of June. And then you have the same situation with Jamie O'Hara, 29 years old. So let me ask you, with both of these players, what do you do? Do you re-sign either one of them, or do you just let them go? Let's start with Kaka and then go to Jamie O'Hara.
I think Kaka's on his way out. I think that I think we're going to let the contract run through, and he will move on. He's been a good servant to the club. Just hasn't really seemed to fit into Slavisa's plans. And so not really surprised to see, wouldn't be surprised at all to see him be allowed to leave, out of contract and be able to move on freely. Jamie O'Hara, I think if you stop the season at the midway point, I think there would be no doubt about it that he would
sure.
he would be re-signed. But I think that unfortunately, I think his age showed. I think some of his there are some rumors about some different texts and things like that he sent out and to friends that were really kind of negative towards the club and really kind of detrimental, and I think that kind of showed itself in his little playing time that he had, and I just don't think he's in Slavisa's plans. I think that there are several players that he's probably earmarked for that, and while O'Hara had a great start to the season, I think his age showed towards the end of the year and just wasn't able to finish it out, and I think that he'll also be. In my opinion, I think he'll be allowed to leave after his contract ends.
Okay, very good. All right, I'm going to give you two more here. Let's talk about a player that Kip brought in. Sakari Matilla, he'd been injured a great deal. He's only 26 years old. He's under contract for one more season. Then you have a player that Fulham brought in on loan, and honestly, I think he did pretty good, Rohan Ince. He's only 23 years old, but he is scheduled to go back to Brighton. So share me your thoughts about Matilla and Ince.
Well, I think Matilla is an interesting one. Obviously, we didn't see a whole lot of him this season. I think that's kind of been how it's been since he got here. And there was big hype around him when he came in, but hasn't really gotten a look into the team. I think that the reason he may be kept is just to build a squad, and the fact that there's probably not a whole lot of market, for him. So I think that he will probably be a player who maybe is on the bench every once in a while, but mainly kind of a reserve team player. As for Rohan Ince, I say that if you can get him signed, I say you get it signed today. I think that he is, he was a very, very good player for us coming in. I think that Slavisa really likes how he plays the game. I think that we need that player in front of the back four and a passer of the ball, a Dixon and Tuhu type. They can really kind of pull the strings and make our team tick a little bit from that position. And so I think that he is, Michael Maddle being signed, I think, possibly the next target could be Rohan Ince to be signed permanently.
I totally agree with that. I hope Slavisa really tries to make a move for Ince. I think Ince could have a nice role with Fulham Football Club. All right, my friend, I'm going to give you some interesting ones. Let's start with Ben Pringle. He's under contract with Fulham for another season, but there has been speculation with him with a club up in Scotland, so that's something to consider. And then, of course, we have the situation with Emerson Hyman. He's out of contract at the end of June and has a bright future, but could be looking to move on. What are your thoughts about Pringle and then, of course, Emerson Hyman?
I think Ben Pringle is going to be sold. I think the rumors are more than rumors. I think that came in with great promise and really just did not perform up to the standard that we need. Obviously, never played under Slavisa, and I think that's kind of a sign that he's going to be on his way out. Hopefully, we can recover a lot of the transfer fee that we paid for him. Or that we had for him, and I can't remember. Was he on a free, or was he?
He was actually on a free. He was on a free.
Okay,
so anything that you got for him would be a bonus.
Well, I think the players that you have on a free are much easier. Are going to be much easier for you to let go in terms of selling, because
sure,
that's all profit. And so I think that even lends itself even more to him leaving. And then Emerson Hyman, yeah, I do think, you know, there's rumors that he's going to move on. I think, again, those are probably more than just rumors. I think that he's probably going to move on, which is from a personal standpoint is hard for me to see. I think it's you know, very young player, comes in and does a job. I don't think the championship is the league for him. I think that there's are other leagues in the world where he could be more successful. And I think that you're going to see him move on. I think that, unfortunately, with him being out of contract, I mean, I'd love to almost do what they do a lot of times in American sports, where they sign him to a deal and then sell him. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think that it's
sign and trade. Sign and trade.
Yeah. I think they're going to end up just letting his contract run out, and he's going to move on, unfortunately, because I think that he does have a bright future. But I do think that he could be much more successful in a different league other than the championship.
If you're asking me, and I'm sad about this too, because I could see him as a player that could really blossom, and I was hoping it was going to be a Fulham, but I could see him in the Bundesliga. There's some speculation with him with Borussia Dortmund. If he doesn't stay at Fulham, obviously I'd like him to stay in England, because then we would get a better fee for him. But if he went somewhere that was probably a good landing spot for him, it would probably be the Bundesliga, Matt. With the connections with Jurgen Klinsmann, I got a funny feeling he's going to end up in Germany. That's just my thought.
Yeah, and I think that was actually the league I was thinking about. Was somewhere that he
and I
could,
think that fits his game.
Really be successful. About. Yeah, and with the with the other American connection that's at Borussia Dortmund right now.
Christian
Pulisic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a very legitimate connection there, and so I think it would be great for him. It'd definitely be a step up, and obviously, I think everybody would wish him the best. Hopefully, we'll be able to find somebody that can come in and replace him.
Absolutely, and it's a tough one, because I've been following his career, and I really want him to stay, but I don't think that's going to happen. All right, let's move on. I have some interesting ones for you. Let's talk about Ryan Tunnicliffe. Ryan Tunnicliffe, still a young player. I didn't realize he's only 23 years old. He's under contract for one more season. Then we have LVC, 21 years old, also under contract for one more season. What do you do with these two players?
Yeah, Tunnicliffe, I was surprised that he's 23 years old. With the beard that he had at the end of the season, he looked about 30. I think Tunnicliffe has a role to play for the club. I think that he was put out of position, probably just from sheer necessity. I really don't think that he was being tried out as a wing midfielder. I think that he is a central midfielder and does some good things. I think that he could be a player who could almost play along with Rohan Entz and have a strong defensive center midfield next year, a holding center midfield. He also distributes the ball well. I definitely think he has a future with the club. I'd love to see him be re-signed, actually, for maybe even another year. To have some security and kind of see how he develops, being only 23. LVC is an interesting one because had such a breakout year in 2014-15, and such high hopes for him, and you know, as we're doing these shows leading up to the season, I remember saying, oh, well, obviously he's going to start every game. I mean, he's going to be – he's the player to watch out for. You know, obviously injuries kind of hampered that. I think he struggled coming back from some of those. And so that's going to be an interesting development there. You know, having him, you know, one more year, you know, unfortunately, I don't think the market is there nearly as much for him now as it was last year, as it was in 14-15. So I think you're going to see him stay at the club, see if he can get completely healthy over the summer. And because with the Euros going on and things like that, I think he'll have some time to rest. And there's not too many youth tournaments going on because of it. So I think you're going to be able to see him rest, as long as he doesn't get named in the Euro squad, which I guess is a possibility. But I think you're going to see him stay because I think he has way too much of an upside. I think he has way too many good performances on film that Slavisa can look at and see the kind of things that he can do to let him go. So I think you're going to see LVC stay, and I think that's a great decision because I think he can really do something for the club.
Okay, very good. All right, here's a player that I think has a bright future. He's only 20. He could be involved with Wales at the Euros. Could be. And that's George Williams. He's under contract until June 30th, 2018. And he has the potential to be a true winger. He could actually also play up front as a striker. He's actually played both. So before we get to one final player in the midfield, I want to get your thoughts on George.
Well, I think that you keep him. I think he's still a developing player. I think that you're, you know, again, 20 years old. I've actually seen him play once or twice, at Motspur Park with the under 21s, and you know, he is a very dynamic player. I think that he's got a lot to offer. I hope that he does get a chance to at least go for experience to the Euros with Wales, and hopefully. Our Welsh connection will help him do that. But I think that you keep him on. I think he's got 2 years. By the time he's 22, as the type of player that he is and the position that he plays, I think that in between 19 and 22 are going to be really your formidable years in terms of growing into what you're going to be. And so I don't really see a need to get rid of him. And I don't think the market is there either. So I think you're going to see him stick around. I do think that in the midfield, is where you might see two or three new players, new faces come in. So if you do end up losing Matilla, Kaka, Heineman, O'Hara, Pringle, I think you're going to see possibly two, three, maybe even four new faces come into the midfield.
I totally agree with that. And what's interesting about George is that, like you mentioned, he's still growing, but I noticed when he returned to form from that terrible injury, that he bulked up a little bit. And that's something that Sean Kavanagh never really did. He actually started to fill out a little bit. I'm talking about physically. He always had the pace. So I'm looking for – I think he's got true potential. I think George is a player that is still getting into his game. So I definitely think you hold on to George. And I wouldn't be shocked if he really makes a mark this year with Fulham. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm hoping the kid really works out. So I really believe in George, and I think George has a bright future as well. So I definitely think you'll hold on to him. I see where you're going on that. We're going to end with Tom Kearney. Tom Kearney's only 25 years old. He's under contract until June 30th, 2019. I have a feeling you're going to say definitely keep him, and I agree with that. But let's make this twofold. He's under contract to June 30th, 2019. I think he's a player you build around that. So here's my question to you. I think you're going to say you keep him. Do you extend him even further? That's my question to you.
I think you may see it after next season. Yes, absolutely. I think you keep him. I think he's a player. I do agree. He's a player you can build around. When played in correct positions, he can be very, very dangerous. When we finally came to terms with the fact that he's not a winger, that he is a central midfielder and a flair player. He definitely is a player for the future, and he's right in his prime right now. So I think that he's somebody that could have a big future and could have a big future in terms of helping us get promoted. And so, I think that he's going to be, of all the players in the midfield, I would put him as number one in terms of ones that you need to keep. And possibly, probably the first or second player in the whole team that you need to keep. He's going to be a big part, I think, of Slavisa's plans. And, maybe you do reward him with a one-year extension, go ahead and get it to 2020. But I think maybe you hold off for a year and see kind of how he does. And then you kind of, you renegotiate after next year and kind of see where he is and where your team is and kind of where you want to go from there.
My only thought about renegotiating with him is that, listen, it's the silly season, and you have teams coming down from the Premier League, and they're going to be looking at a 25-year-old player. Of course, there are other teams that could be interested in him as well. If you don't extend him, would you consider raising his pay?
Yeah, I think so. I think you do. I think you do increase his wages. I think he's done more than enough to earn that. I think that all that does when you increase a wage is you increase his future sell-on potential. And
exactly.
And you set the market for him. And so I think that you definitely do that. And, the reason I probably wouldn't necessarily extend him right now is because the difference between a 3-year contract and a 4-year contract is not a whole lot. I think what you may see is after next season, maybe you extend him for 2 years after next season. So whereas the difference between a 2-year contract and a 4-year contract is definitely much more different than just a 1-year bump. So, because I'm not sure you're going to see us offering out 5-year extensions and things like that. I think you do renegotiate. I think you show him some love. I think you show him that he is going to be important to what you want to do moving forward. And, I think that's going to do nothing but spur a player like him on.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, let's end with the forwards. We have 4 of them. Let's talk about Colly Woodrow, still 21 years old. He's actually featuring right now for the England under-21s. He's under contract until June 30th, 2018. Then, of course, we have to talk about your namesake, Matt Smith, 26 years old. He's under contract for one more season. Let's start with Colly, and then let's go to Matt.
With Colly, I think with his youth and kind of how he has performed for us, and I think you definitely would like to keep him. I do think that there's a possibility that we could run into a Pat Roberts situation where he is a highly sought-after young English player, which, again, just similar to Bettinelli, how we talked about before, that the team's looking to deal with the homegrown player rule. I think that he could be very enticing and could really have a market out there for him, depending on how he performs, with the England youth team this summer. So, I he's one that you would love to keep. I think that there's no doubt about that. Just what he's done for us kind of as a super sub almost, with the possibility of losing, another forward, I think that you definitely have to keep him on and see, and continue his growth and his progress. With Matt Smith, I think it's an interesting one. Obviously, love to keep him at the club from a personal perspective because I love having Smith on the back of my jersey and it actually be a legit Smith. That's always nice for me from a personal angle. But, I think that there could be a market out there for a player like that. And I know a lot of people, don't really care for the way that we play when he is on the field. I personally think that and I've had a lot of discussions with this with some other people, is I think you need a player like Matt Smith. I think he's a little bit underestimated in terms of his pure footballing ability, just how Peter Crouch was, in his career, early on in his career. I think he actually is a little bit better of a footballer than people give him credit for. But I think you need a player like him almost even as a situational player. We're down a goal, or we're tied and we need 3 points, or it's just a situation where we are going to be playing a little bit more, playing some longer balls for him to be able to get up and win and hold up and stuff like that. So I think that he is an important player for us to try to hold on to, but I think there actually is going to be a pretty big market for him, especially I can see teams coming up from League One wanting a player like him. I could see some of the
Bristol
clubs
City.
Yeah, I could see some of the teams that maybe were relegated to League One being interested. So I think that
he's one that's probably in the middle group for me, to where you say, yeah, we'd like to keep him, but we are definitely willing to listen to any interest that might be out there with him being in contract for one more year. So love to keep him. I think he actually does have a role to play at the club. I think a tall, strong striker like that is always going to be able to find work. But I'd like to, I think that there is a possibility we may look for some interest.
See, I agree with both those points. I think he's right in that middle group, because I would like to keep him because I think he gives you a great plan B. In certain situations, against certain clubs, you could start him. So I think that you hold on to him, but I think there's also going to be a market for him, so that's what makes it interesting. Think of it as a coach, you got to weigh those. You got to weigh his market value next to what he would mean to you coming off the bench, starting maybe a few matches. So that's what makes Matt Smith an interesting character, interesting situation. All right, we're going to do these next two individually. Let's start with Musa. He's obviously going to be out of contract at the end of June. His contract's running out, and what's interesting about him, we've already seen all the interest. He almost left in the January transfer window. So if you're Slavisa, what do you do with this? Do you still try to convince him to stay, or do you just hope that he signs with a team in England?
I think that you give him your best sales pitch. You give him, you wine and dine him. You show him kind of your plans. I think that, with Slavisa coming in the middle of the season, it was tough to really sit down and really sell players on the future. He was more worried about keeping us up and the task at hand and things like that. I think during the summer, especially early on, probably here in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see, you probably will see Slavisa really spend some time with Musa and really just trying to give him a sales pitch and say, listen, this is why you should stay here. This is what we're trying to build towards. This is our future. This is our goals for, 1, 2, 5 years out and things like that, and kind of where you fit into that. You throw him your best sales pitch, and if he's into that and he takes it, fantastic. I think the more realistic thing is he's going to be chasing his dream to play in the Premier League or play in a top league in Europe. And honestly, you can't really fault him for that. As long as we put in, I just don't want to see us let him leave and just let him leave without having saying a word to him. I hope that we. I think from a coach's perspective, I think you got to throw your best chance at him, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You wish him the best, and like you said, hope he stays in England.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad that you mentioned that you'd make every effort to try to convince him to stay. Your best sales pitch. I totally agree with that. You got nothing to lose, and who knows what he'll say. And if that doesn't work, let's just hope he stays in England, and then we can get a good fee for him. All right, madam. I think we're ending the show with the right player, because I'm fascinated with what you're going to go with Ross McCormack, because what's interesting about McCormack is that there is speculation in some of the papers in England that even though he was extended, he potentially has a clause in his contract, and I've heard it estimated to be around £12 million. I'm assuming that is, a transfer out clause, a clause to get himself out of his contract if someone was to come up with that. Again, this is speculation. There's no definite information on this. I've seen it in a few places that it was estimated £12 million. So you're Slavisa. Ross McCormack scores you a ton of goals. What do you do? Do you do everything you can to keep him? Or do you look... I understand that there's a potential that you might lose him if there is a clause. How do you handle the situation with Ross McCormack in general?
I think you handle it, even though he is under contract, I think you also handle it this very similar way that you handle Moussa Dembele. I think you do, you show him some love, you show him kind of your plans for the future, you make your sales pitch for why Fulham is the place that he needs to be, and see out his contract. But I do think that he is probably in that middle group, to where you don't turn a blind eye or a blind ear or a deaf ear to interest. Because if the money is there and the number is right, and Slavisa has people on his board that he can get for that price or under that price, then I think he'd be silly from a business perspective not to look at it. And so While I do think that it is important that we keep him, I do think that he is in that middle group that we kind of established at the beginning of yeah, you want to keep him, but you I think you'd be silly to not listen to interest, especially if it gets over the 12, 15 million pound mark. I think you definitely look at that. So, it would be a tough loss for us, considering we only carry, four forwards on our squad. It would be a massive rebuild, but I think that's something that Sylvius is okay with doing and something he said is going to happen anyway. So, he's one that I think is firmly in that middle group of want to keep, but not going to be so stubborn to where we don't listen to a price tag, even if it is, an exorbitant fee. So, I hope we do. I think he does have a big role to play for us. There's still a possibility. I'd probably put it at, about probably now, probably 65, 35 that he does stay.
Okay.
But I'd rather a little bit higher than that.
Okay. Very good there, Matt. And what's interesting about McCormack, I was speaking to Mike Gregg about this, and Mike said, if you are to sell him, let's hope, that it's a situation, because, again, we don't know. Again, this is speculation about the clause, but say there is one, someone comes in for it. I think, Matt, that you have to be prepared, that you have to have replacements ready to go if he does go. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't be reactive. I think in this instance, you really have to be proactive and almost use that as a sales pitch as hey, we're going to bring in this player to partner with you. We're going to bring in this player to partner with you. And that can almost kind of be double-sided to where not only are you in case you do leave him, in case you do lose him, you're bringing in replacements before he leaves, but it also may be a player that, hey, I want to play with that guy. That's why I want to stay here, is to play with that guy. So it could almost be double-sided and kind of help in both ways.
Right. And my big concern with McCormack, because I could see the potential that you could use with that money, let's be honest. If it's at that figure, you could really do some damage with that figure. But my issue, my major concern is he's going to have interest. And my concern is when we get near, if he's with Fulham, say, in July, August, then we get near to the end of the window. My concern is that, like it happens at most transfer windows, that something happens at the end. We don't want another Moussa Dembele, the original Moussa Dembele situation, where he leaves and you really are not prepared for it. You're not ready to go. You don't have – they brought in Berbatov, but that wasn't the replacement for Moussa Dembele. Berbatov even stated that he was hoping to come to play with Moussa Dembele. So, again, my concern, Matt, is you better have all your ducks in a row. You better be prepared for the worst-case scenario. You better be proactive. So, as a coach, you've already said this, you have to be proactive, correct, in all these situations?
Yeah, no, you absolutely have to. You've got to put yourself, unfortunately, in the worst-case scenario all the time. What is the worst-case scenario? Where do we need to go to be able to get through that worst-case scenario? And hope that doesn't happen, but you're prepared for it if it does. It's kind of a hope for the best or prepare for the worst kind of thing. And so,
exactly,
I think you do have to do it. And what you do is you hope that Slavica can put on his car salesman hat and sell him for the fact that hey, we brought you here. The original reason the club brought you here was to be promoted, was to make you a Premier League player with Fulham. Give us a chance to allow you to do that, and you hope that something to that effect has been said, and hopefully he takes that, and is able to kind of come back and be spurred on by it.
Okay, very good, my friend. Listen, this has been a great episode. Like you said, this is different than any other episode we've done. This is our 21st episode. So before we go, I want to get your thoughts on the episode and also any other final thoughts you might have.
Well, it was great. It's fun. It's fun to do this from a manager business perspective. It is always tough. I mean, everything. We're only privy to so much knowledge. So everything we could have said could be 100% wrong. Everything we said could have been 100% right. But that's kind of the fun part, is the speculation and just talking Fulham in the off season is always fun to keep it fresh in our minds. And we're all. I think what's great now is that we're not talking about last season. We're talking about the future. And I think that's the goal of this episode and all the episodes to come is really looking forward You know, you got to live your life through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. So, you know, so it's always fun to do these with you, and especially fun to do this because it's just fun to do something different and to do a little speculation.
Yeah, listen, it is, and it's funny, Matt, because we're now looking at a year ago that you and I and Heather met in Boston, and I proposed this idea to you to do this show, and we are 1 year from that, and I have to say thank you, thank you, thank you, because my idea to do this I thought would be fun, but it's exceeded any expectations I would have. You've been great to do this with. The feedback I've gotten on the Coaching Corner has been great, and I just look forward to doing more shows with you.
Yeah, man, it's been great. It's been a great first year. I just want to say thank you. I mean, it was your idea, and you know, thought it was a great idea from the start, and I've had a lot of fun with it, and ready to start year two and expand and possibly get some fun things on the horizon. I've got a proposal that I'm going to give to you over email, and we're going to see kind of how that goes and see if we can't kind of take the show to the next level.
I'm looking forward to the email. Seriously, you know, any ideas you have, Matt, let's talk about them. Let's see if we can take it to the next level. I'm there with you, my friend. Listen, it's time to wrap this up. You were fantastic, as always, and it's great that we could look at this from a different perspective, but it is time to go. For Matt Smith, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Matt.
Cheers, Russ.
Boys and girls.